And welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken. Hello to all of our listeners out there. Another day of Saints and Sinners, and Ken Johnston and Father McKay to get together. I'm hoping we get some callers today, Ken.
Yeah, well, we'll see. In the meantime, we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful contributions that have kept us on the air for over 40 years and allows us to bring you shows like today's. Again, we're broadcasting on Facebook Live. If you happen to have a Facebook account, you can go out and follow us on In His Sign Catholic Radio, and you'll get my video. Father's calling in. Our guest at 5 o'clock today will be calling in, but we are available on Facebook Live as of a couple of weeks ago. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Father and I are also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. I got word recently that Father McKay will be making an appearance this year at Man Up Philly. So if, for all the men out there, if you're, encourage you to come out on March 2nd for Man Up Philly. For our women listeners, encourage your husbands and sons to come on out and spend the day. You can learn more about Man Up Philly at manupphilly.com. A couple of announcements before we get to the Saints. The Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel's Church is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays. The church is located at 29th and Dickinson Street in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. If you're going to come down, get in touch with Father and I, and we'll try to meet you over in church. On 3 o'clock on Tuesdays, we have the Matt Talbot Novena Prayers and Benediction after a holy hour from 3 to 4. The prayers get started at 4 o'clock. And then on Thursdays at 4 o'clock, we pray a rosary together. All are more than welcome to come down and join us. We got a lot happening in Malvern in February. Coming up this Friday, February the 2nd, is First Friday. So there'll be Mass at the chapel in the Family Life Center beginning at 7:30 a.m., followed by breakfast. During breakfast, they have some face sharing going on. They're starting to get pretty good crowds for that Mass on the First Friday, so I encourage you to check that out if you're available. And then two retreats that we want to mention. February 9th to the 11th will be the second Divine Will Retreat. The first one last July sold out and had quite a waiting list. If you weren't able to get in on that one, there's still room. February 9th to the 11th, Father B. Thomas Celso will be the retreat director. And you can register online at malvernretreat.com or call the retreat house at 610-644-0400. And then at the end of the month, February 23rd to the 25th, Kathleen McCarthy and her frequent guest on Thursdays, Father Dermot Roche, will be hosting a retreat also at Malvern. The theme for the retreat is Rekindle the Fire. This retreat's open to both men and women. Happy to say that three of the women that reside with us at Our House Ministries will be making that retreat that weekend. So also you can register online again at malvernretreat.com or call the retreat house 610-644-0400. Also, if you've been listening already this week, you've probably heard that Father Jason Kolchinski passed away suddenly on Saturday over at Holy Martyrs Church in Orland Parish that I grew up in. And the funeral for Father Kolchinski will be on Monday, February the 5th. They'll receive the body at the reception of the body will take place at 8:30 in the morning. And then the Archbishop, Nelson Perez, will celebrate the funeral mass beginning at 11 a.m. So again, that's reception of the body at Holy Martyrs, February the 5th at 8:30 in the morning, followed by a viewing. And then Archbishop Perez will celebrate the funeral mass beginning at 11 a.m. Just ask your prayers for Father and his family. So we will begin our show with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot, St. Maximilian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
St. Thomas Aquinas, St. John Bosco.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints, guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
And for Father Jason Canning and also T.J. Murray, Billy Curran, all the loved ones who have died, we pray for them. And may the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The numbers are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance and you want to call us toll-free, you can do so at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. We heard last week that the lines were busy. We only have three lines. Father's on one of them. So if we have one person on and one on hold, you may get a busy signal. Just try back when you hear us hang up with someone. We especially want your calls as we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. When we come back from the break, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. If God's touched you in a particular way in the past couple of weeks and you want to share it with our listeners, please call in. We'll give out the numbers again before we go to the break. We are currently in the fourth week of Ordinary Time, and hard to believe it's February already. Today, the 31st, we celebrate the feast of St. John Bosco, priest. On Friday the 2nd, the presentation of the Lord. For some, they also celebrate Candlemas, and as mentioned earlier, it is the first Friday of the month. On Saturday the 3rd, we have St. Blaise, bishop and martyr. St. Ansgar, who was a bishop, and it's also First Saturday for those that are devotees to Our Lady of Fatima. You'll be familiar with the First Saturday devotions, and they'll take place this week at various parishes. All right, without any further ado, we'll go over to the saints. And as mentioned, today's the feast day for St. John Bosco. He was born on August the 16th in the year 1815, would die on January the 31st in 1888. Well known for his education, he wanted to help kids and did a lot of work in that area. He also advocated for frequent reception of the sacraments, including penance and Holy Communion. He would combine catechetical training and fatherly guidance, hoping to unite the spiritual life with one's work, study, and play. During his time in Turin, he would encourage the youth, and he would work with young boys. In order to do so, he was ordained in 1841. He would serve the young people after he met a poor orphan in Turin and instructed him in preparation for receiving Holy Communion. After that experience, he would gather other young people as apprentices and would teach them the catechism. He would serve as chaplain in a hospice for working girls and then open the oratory of St. Francis de Sales for boys. He was able to gather some wealthy benefactors who would provide the financing needed to create two workshops for the boys where he would teach them shoemaking and tailoring. By 1856, his workshops had grown to 150 boys, and so he added a printing press where he would publish religious and catechetical pamphlets. His interest in vocational education and publishing would make him the patron for young apprentices and Catholic publishers. He was also a famous preacher, and by 1850, he would train his own helpers because of the difficulties he had in retaining young priests. And in 1854, he and his followers banded together, inspired by St. Francis de Sales. And with the encouragement of Pope Pius IX, he gathered a total of 17 men and founded the Salesians in 1859. Again, their primary charism was on education and mission work. And later, they would organize a group of women who would become the Salesian Sisters to assist girls. So that's St. John Bosco, whose feast day we celebrate on January the 31st. And my good friend Father McKay spent a little bit of time with the Salesians, right, Father?
Yeah. Ken, it was like, I was just thinking today, reminiscing back there, it was my first year as a seminarian. And it seemed like a long time I was there, but I figured it out. I was only there like 8 months, because we had like a month off for Christmas, and then Easter we were off. So, like, so many fond memories back there. I remember my mother and father, my brother Harry, and my sister-in-law Sue driving me to New Jersey for the Salesian Seminary there, and up 611. And I just remember that day getting out of the car and that separation of my parents, because I've really never really been separated a long time from family, and except maybe going down the shore or something for a weekend. But I just remember that feeling, you know. I just felt so homesick. And they kind of, it was a priest there who would be our director, Father Vincent Zuliani. And they, other guys were there. We were called the Sons of Mary, and there were 19 of us. And I was probably one of the last ones to arrive, and they're playing volleyball. And I just remember they stopped the game to greet my parents for a little bit, and then they got in the car and they left. And I remember that night, you know, I was so homesick. And Father gave a talk. And every night we got a talk from Father or another priest about the life of St. John Bosco. But he said that you may feel homesick. He really hit me between the eyes. And he said, I just want you to know, when you come here for Jesus, that Jesus takes your place in a very special way back at home. And he said, pray three Hail Marys every night for your vocation. And I did that every night for 8 years, those golden Hail Marys, you know, for my vocation. But I always remember that. But the stories were always powerful, St. John Bosco. You know, John Bosco was like an acrobat. And that's how he would win the kids over. You know, he would have food and drink, and he would do tricks, and he would do acrobatic feats. He could walk on a tightrope. And this one guy, he came in. He was also an acrobat, and he's going to try to steal the kids away from St. John Bosco, from Father Bosco. And he challenged the saint. He said, well, see, there was two trees, you know, or the one tree, and it was really high. And he said, we'll see who can climb to the highest point of that tree. So the man goes first, and he goes all the way to the tip of the tree and comes down. He think he won, but Father Bosco went up backwards on his hands and held the tip of the tree with his hand and kicked his feet up in the air and swung on the tree and won the kids over. But he was a lover of children, of the youth, and he really brought Jesus into their hearts. But one of the stories that, you know, the famous story that I often like to tell was the story that he told about the two pillars. And it was the ship, which is a symbol of the church, and the Holy Father is at the helm. And the ship is going through a storm, but it's going through looking at these two pillars. On top of each pillar, one was the Blessed Mother, and one was the Blessed Sacrament. They were the two pillars. And the Holy Father is steering the ship through these two pillars, through this violent storm, looking for that safe harbor, that peace, that joy into the kingdom. And that was always a powerful story. But he said there were mutineers all around the ship, and even on the ship, trying to really destroy the church. And it was Father Casalvi. It was the great Napoleon said to this Cardinal Consalvi, he said, you know, I can destroy the church. And the cardinal said, not even the priest could do that. And how true that was, because we were founded on the words of Jesus Christ. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But boy, you know, like you said, he just he knew the trades, he would teach, but it was really bringing God through the bellies of the youth and giving them so much love and kindness. And it was the time where there was corporal punishment. And the saint never believed in that. You know, he would take care of the kids, love them, and they would respond to that love, and he would grow more and more and more. And I often think about the young Saint Dominic Savio that was also there, Eucharistic all the way through. He made his first communion and like 6 feet elevated off the ground when the saint went back to see him. But yeah, it's just so many beautiful stories about this great saint and all the work that he did. He even had the cooperators, which was like a third order that would join him. And you already mentioned the Daughters of Our Lady Help of Christians working with the girls. But I just remember the grounds there, you know. They had a campground. They had a boys club, and it was forestry. And, you know, being in the inner city, I would get out and, you know, see these, listen to these birds chirping, seeing these different kind of birds, blue jays and cardinals. And I really felt like, in a sense, that this was so much heavenly, you know, the campus landscape with the chirping birds and grazing deer in the lawns, quacking duck ponds, you know. They all announced to me, Douglas, you're not in Grace Ferry anymore. So anyway, it was a beautiful time, that one semester with the Salesians, with the priest and the brothers who really looked over us and started me on the road to priesthood, Ken.
Yeah, and as you're talking about him, and I was reading about him earlier, and the work that he did with the youth, I think about the youth of today and how we could use a whole bunch of John Boscos, even within my own family, people that aren't having their kids christened anymore, not bringing them up in the faith. And I think we're going to have a couple of generations going forward that are really going to need probably catechism or to be catechized as adults, if then. And, the days of Catholic education, holding the importance that it did to so many families. I mentioned Holy Martyrs, where Father Kolchinski was, and that's where I grew up. And, you know, it's one of the schools that's not open anymore. My high school's not open anymore. And you talk about St. Gabriel's, where you went to school, and at one time having, some 1,200 kids enrolled in that school, and that school's not open anymore. And we're going to have to, call on St. John Bosco, I think, and ask his intercession to help us, with a lot of these youth in order to bring them not back to the faith, into the faith when the time is right, because so many of them are not being catechized today. And, sad on the one hand, but definitely an opportunity for all of us on the other.
The connection to St. Dominic Savio, I think he maybe was about 15 years old when he died. And he was so Eucharistic. And he would say, death but not sin. That was his slogan as a young boy, death but not sin. And one thing about the Salesians, the Blessed Mother, the Eucharist, so powerful. After dinner, we all had we broke up into groups and we would walk around the campus. And we would all pray the rosary together. And I remember one of the talks that I had to give, and I was really petrified of getting up and speaking in front of my peers. But we had to pick something off Father's desk, and it was always a topic on the Blessed Mother. And I had picked Our Lady of Fatima. I was hoping to get a miraculous medal. But that was a great experience for me. But here, you know, at Malvern, the connection there with Blessed Carlo Acutis, who was also 15 years old, and he was Marian and Rosary and Eucharist. And, you know, it's bringing the youth back to our church and how much we really need to reach out and touch the youth with experiences of the Eucharist, experiences of the Blessed Mother, the Rosary, adoration that they're not used to, and getting that inner feeling, that experience of the divine presence within them. But that was the other thing. You see that connection with Blessed Carlos Acutis. And even Carlos Acutis, he had an apparition when he was like 8 years old of the Blessed Mother. And I really believe it's that kind of revelation that sets a heart on fire, that, you know, we need revelations, you know, of that divine presence of God, that it becomes more like an experience and a knowing rather than a belief that, you know this and you're set on fire. And you get this by just doing what he says and keeping his commandments, being faithful to Jesus. And then he reveals himself in so many wonderful, beautiful ways, so many signs and wonders. And then you're out there serving the Lord. You're knowing him, you're serving him, and you're loving him. And you realize you're happy with him because the kingdom of God is next to you. You're stepping up in the kingdom of God. So these short lives, you know, Dominic Savio and Carlos Acutis, though they were so short, it's like, boy, they're still touching so many youths today. And you know it's not them. It's the Lord in them that comes, shines through them. Mm. And the young people, they're called to that. We're all called to be holy and to be close to Jesus and to be intimate with him. And we look at these two young saints, we see how they did it. They did it with the Word of God. They did it by making visits to the Blessed Sacrament, by going to confession, praying the rosary, attending Mass. They love Jesus in the Eucharist, and he revealed them. And I think that's it, Ken, bringing the young people right back to the Blessed Mother and to the Blessed Sacrament, those two pillars, to go through with the church into the safe harbors and experience the kingdom of God that's at hand.
No, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, that yearning that God puts in each and every one of us, the yearning for him, so that, you know, we all have it, and oftentimes we don't know what it is that's going on inside. We know that there's something bigger, something better, and sometimes we can't put our finger on it. Those of us that end up in 12-step programs in recovery, you know, we've had that yearning, and we used it to find our way into the bars or drugs or casinos or wherever it was that we went to fulfill that yearning. And unfortunately, we probably tried everything but God. And, you know, it never ceases to amaze me that, you know, once we realize what our problem was and somebody offers a solution, and then you find out that the solution is actually God. For some, it can be a turnoff, I think, especially if they've had a bad experience, whether it was in church, in school, with a family member or religious. But for many people that I've encountered, especially since I share about my faith a lot in those situations, you know, you come to learn that people want to develop that faith. They revert back to the faith of their childhood, and that's one of the scary things that I fear going forward in the not too distant future. You know, when I found out that the only solution to the problems that I had was through a relationship with God, at least I had an inkling as to who God was and what have you, because of my Catholic upbringing. For all these kids being raised today without religion, you know, when they find that out, you know, their first question may be, well, what's a God? And so we know it's all in God's hands. He's going to sort this out one way or the other. But, you know, I say that because, you know, when we're talking to people, and often we don't even think about it as evangelization, but it really is when that spirit that's in us, that God that's in us, is talking to somebody else. It's talking to the spirit or God that's within them. And, you know, that's the conversation that goes on. And you had talked about that. I forget who was talking about preaching homilies, and you've shared it a few times now about, you know, that Jesus is already in there. That's your job to set the table and and allow that message to come through.
Yeah, you know, that, Ken, that is still feeding me, and I heard that with Father Monsignor McHenry.
Yeah, that's right.
His debut, it was on Mondays here in his sign, and he said that, and that's still feeding me. It's like Saint Augustine said that the preacher up there, whoever the leader is in talking, you know, when you're talking the truths, you're just setting the table, the food, and Jesus is the one who's feeding the souls. And I remember the Monsignor would come up, and this would happen to all of us priests, that after a homily, someone said, Father, that homily really struck me, and your words really helped me. He said, well, what did I say? And they'll tell you what they said. He said, well, I didn't say that. So you say something, and the Holy Spirit and the Lord, he's feeding. He touches the heart and the mind, and you experience the truths. And that's liberating, because I'm not the one, you know, to touch the hearts and things. You know, it's God that touches the hearts, and we must go to God. And Patrick Kennedy would like this one, because I said it before with St. John Vianney, when someone came up, and St. John Vianney said, look, you got to go to God. He said, how? And John Vianney made a fist, and he shot it through the air, and he said, straight like a cannonball. We must go to God. As you said, Ken, he's the answer and the solution. There is no other solution. There's always a divine solution, though. I think about when he fed the 5,000, and it seemed like, there was no human solution, and there wasn't. And they said, there's a little boy here with 5 loaves and 2 fish. What good is that? And Jesus said, bring them here to me. And when they brought them here to Jesus, he multiplied them. You know, and there it is. All we have to do is come to him, and he'll multiply all of our needs. He'll take care of us, just to trust him and believe in him. And he would be the solution to all of our problems and difficulties. You made me think of, again, I know I said this before, but when I was 19 years old on Broad Street, and I saw that sign on top of that little newsstand there, and it was a triangle sign, and on top of it, one side said, Dear Jesus, I have a problem, and it's me, sign your brother. And I walked around, and the other side said, Dear brother, I have the solution to your problem, and it's me, sign Jesus, the solution to all of our problems. And that's what the saints did. They took it all to him. And it was Jesus now taking care of everything. Because really, it's in him that we live and move and have our being. And I can't do anything, absolutely nothing, without him. He's the vine, and I'm the branch. And apart from him, I can do nothing. Zero. Zilch.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. All right. We're just about at the bottom of the hour. When we come back from the break, we want to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, but we need your calls in order to make that happen. The phone number is 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906, or call us toll-free at 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
My name is Mario D'Adamo, and I have been a faithful listener to Inner Sign Radio Ministry since 1990, and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a 2-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
My friends, It is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic radio apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906 or on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and my good friend Father Douglas McKay. If you haven't visited our website lately, please check out inhissign.com. It's up to date with all the radio shows up to and including last Wednesday's show. I usually try to get all the shows uploaded on Thursday after I'm here on Wednesday and pick them up. Also, I do a recap of the Wednesday shows on the website where I started writing. It's notsaintsyet.substack.com. That's notsaintsyet.substack.com. Give a recap of the shows along with links to the recordings in case you happen to miss a show. You can subscribe for free if you care to. There's also paid subscriptions, but if you subscribe, you'll get that recap every Thursday and be able to catch up with any shows that you might miss. Also like to keep you up to date on the Catholic Society, a great organization for Catholics and 12-step programs, where our motto is, we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. Before I go through the meetings for the month of February, I just want to let folks know we don't have any callers, so the phone lines are open. 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or toll free at 888-343-2484. The Grace Ferry Calyx Unit, rather, meets every Tuesday. That's where Father McKay and I, Patrick and others, gather on Tuesday evenings at 6 o'clock in our Matt Talbot Chapel, where we have adoration followed by Mass and then our Calyx meeting. On the third Tuesday of each month, we go over to St. Gabriel's Church, where we have a Matt Talbot Holy Hour from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock, followed by Mass. In February, that'll be on Tuesday, February the 20th. And the intent of that night is to pray for all those that are in recovery, those that still struggle with active addiction, and their friends and family that love them. So all are more than welcome to come and join us. Again, that's 6 o'clock on the third Tuesday of each month in St. Gabriel's Church. The unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be tomorrow, February the 1st. The Glenside Unit, my home parish, the St. Luke the Evangelist, meets on the third Saturday of each month. We go to the 8:30 Mass in the morning and then have our Calyx meeting afterwards. The February meeting will be on Saturday, February the 17th. The unit that, there's a new unit starting up at the Malvern Retreat House. Many of you are aware that Father McKay is now the rector at Malvern. So we've had recently folks showing up in Grace Ferry coming from Chester County and down towards Malvern. Well, we're happy to say that there'll be a new unit at the Malvern Retreat House that's going to meet on the third Sunday of the month. Father is going to offer 4 o'clock Mass, and then there'll be refreshments and a Calyx meeting to follow. That third Sunday in February will be February the 18th. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, there's a Calyx unit that meets at St. Matthew's for 6:15 p.m. Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. And in the 5 o'clock hour today, I'm going to be joined by my monthly guest, Peter DePalma, and we'll be talking about Louisa Picaretta and the gift of the divine will. You'll want to stick around for that. All right, we did get a caller. Father, we're going to go to Bob. Hello, Bob.
How are you?
All right, how are you?
Good, good. I didn't have an odd but God, so I was hesitant to call in, but today is my favorite saint, Don Bosco.
Okay.
And, I mean, they have these movies, you know, the Marvel Universe, Superman, Batman, Harry Potter. All this stuff is like, if you read the life of Don Bosco, he makes all those guys look like wimps.
He
went to some of the toughest neighborhoods in Turin, and magical, mystical things would happen. This dog used to appear, this giant dog would just appear and follow him into the bad neighborhood and protect him. And when he went back, the dog would disappear. You know, it's like, I mean, he actually raised a person from the dead. I mean, we know that, you know, Jesus raised Lazarus and Jairus' daughter, and but, you know, people don't realize Don Bosco, you know, through Jesus, of course, he raised a person from the dead, you know? And I was thinking when Father was talking about, you know, just, I get confused sometimes. It takes me years to finally get the thing. When that saying that when I am weak, I am strong, I go, that doesn't make any sense. And then I figured it out. When I'm weak and I just can't do it, and I kind of give up, Jesus steps in.
Amen.
He does it because he could do anything. So when I am weak, if I try to do it, I would do it halfway or a little bit, or I would get frustrated. But if I give up and surrender, then Jesus does it. I mean, imagine if you were doing like putting together something from IKEA and you couldn't do it, and some expert came in and put it together for you. That's what it's like, you know. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, St. John Bosco, absolutely my favorite, you know, because he was a tough guy. You know, he was, you know, and he did. I should have learned my lessons from him. The first boys he took in to stay overnight at his house, they stole all the sheets and pillowcases and ran away with everything, you know. I had a homeless person come and live with me, and he stole from me, you know. So,
yeah.
But he didn't give up, you know. So.
Very good. How's the weather in Fruitland?
Oh, I don't know. It must be about 70 right now.
No.
You know? So.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
So. Thanks, hey, I went Bob.
The other day.
Thanks for calling in and sharing.
Hold on,
that.
Bob.
But yeah, I remember those stories too. The dog Greggio was his name, and that was always his guardian angel. But anytime there was problems or troubles, he would show up.
Yeah.
Walk Don Bosco home, and all of a sudden he would feed him, and the dog would disappear and be gone. But there's something else about St. John Bosco that his dad died when he was only 2 years old, and Mama Margarita was really like his father and his mother together bringing him up. And even at that age of 9 is when he started having all of his dreams. He's had so many dreams and visions.
Yep.
He was poor. He wanted to be a priest. And it reminded me of myself here in Grace Ferry. In his community, they didn't have the money. And here, you know, everybody would chip in. Like the pastor would buy his shoes, and someone else would buy a coat. Another person would give him the money. And then he was able to become the priest that he was, you know.
But he
became a fundraiser himself. And he actually built a cathedral there. In Turin. And it was a basilica, the St. John the Evangelist. And then Pius the Ninth wanted to build a church in honor of the Sacred Heart in Rome. And they got the money only to do the foundation, and they couldn't go any farther. And the Pope said, "What a pity it is that we can make no headway," remarked the Pope, "that the glory of God, the honor of the Holy See, and the spiritual good of so many are involved in this undertaking. But I can see no way out of this difficulty." And there was a cardinal, was his name, Ali Manda. "I could suggest one, and what might he be? Hand it over to Don Bosco. He could do it. But he accept?" He says, "I know he will accept because of his holiness, and he would be honored that the Pope would ask him for such a favor." So he started to raise the funds, and the funds would come in. And when there were enough funds in Italy, he went to France. And, you know, for spoke about the devotions to the Sacred Heart, and they got more than enough money to build that. So he was also a fundraiser. He knew how to touch the hearts and get the money to build the churches, whatever other needs they were. He really had a lot of beautiful benefactors, like we do here at Harrow House Ministries as well.
Yeah. I remember one of his prophetic visions, because he was from the late 1800s, and he envisioned an airplane flying to America, that the Salesians would one day be in America. There was no word for airplane in the 1800s, so he called it a silver bird. I saw the silver bird in the air, you know, flying over this country, and it was America, you know. And also his students, because he had this giant tapestry of Our Lady Help of Christians, and he went into the chapel one day, and one of his students was praying. So, because like you talk about changing, elevating from meditation to contemplation, well, his student had reached that level. The student was levitating in front of the picture of Our Lady Help of Christians. You know, it's just, I mean, like I say, we have all these superhero movies. If you read Lives of the Saints, they're all superheroes.
Very good.
Was that movie Ben Cazzara? I remember seeing the movie of St. John Bosco, Ben Cazzara. It was a powerful movie.
And I love it that we have a photograph of him, too, you know? Like he was, you know, although he was back in the 1800s, we had photography then. And, I like to know that that's what he really looked like, you know? I know that's crazy, but I like it.
Yeah, good deal.
You know, the society grew. In 1863, there were 39 Salesians. And then at the founders of his death was 768. And today they were numbered like thousands, you know. One of Don Bosco's dreams was realized.
Yeah,
he would live to see 26 houses started in the New World. He lived to see 26 houses started in the New World and 38 in the Old World. So, it grew by leaps and bounds.
Wow. Well, it's funny because I know their headquarters is in New Rochelle, New York. And on the Dick Van Dyke Show, the character lived in New Rochelle. I go, that's where the Salesians are.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. That's the other thing with the Salesians. We're always doing trips, always driving around. And I remember being in New Rochelle, one of the churches there. And one of his communities, and we would have dinner.
Uh-huh.
That sticks out in my mind.
All right. Well, Bob, it's always good to hear from you, brother. Thanks for calling in.
Yep. Now, I know Father Doug won't travel this far, but you know, you guys are invited, you know?
Oh, we are?
Oh, absolutely.
Did you hear that, Patrick?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, definitely. Patrick.
All right. We'll have to, see how many airline points I have.
I'm going to the Phillies game with Mike McLaughlin on March 14th down in Clearwater.
Oh, very good. Very good.
The Phillies and the Red Sox.
Awesome. All right, brother. Good to hear from you.
All right.
Take care of yourself.
Very good. You take good care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. And we got another caller on the line. We've got Mary. Hello, Mary.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Hi, Ken.
Yep.
Is this Ken?
It's Ken. And you got Father McKay as
well. I'm on the air. Oh, my God, my phone is weakening. I just wanted to call and say hello. Today is my 86th birthday on St. Don Bosco's feast day.
How about that? Happy birthday. Father, you know who it is, right?
Yes, Mary DeAngelis.
Father. How are you?
Hi, Mary. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to me. I belong in a tree. No, that's the wrong word.
Sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say keep your day job.
Happy to hear your voice, Father. I haven't seen you too much often. And guess what? I had a little bit of an accident. I have a broken wrist.
Oh, my.
In a cast, right hand, dominant hand. So keep me in prayer, please.
Six-week
recovery.
Wow. Yeah.
And did you get to talk to Marie Molinari?
Yes, I did. She called me. We talked a long time, and we're going to keep in touch.
Good.
She's so lovely, such a wonderful person. And I'm praying for her husband, Rocky, and for her also and her family.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good.
Well, come
visit
me.
Highly of you, Mary.
When you go to one of the diners, come visit sometime. I'll be here.
All right.
And Mary, Psalm 90 says, for 80 for for those who are strong, reach 80. So you must be a really strong one, 86, and you're still going strong. And I just want to say, I almost tripped over you one day here at our Matt Talbot Chapel. You were prostrated. And I can just about genuflect, and you're 86 today.
That's my little humble prayer to the Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I do that. You know, I just love being and going into a church and being there with them. In the perpetual adoration, I miss going there. I can't even drive now. I'm kind of, you know. But that's okay. That's all right.
Yeah. I'm going to light a candle for you in my chapel for your birthday in front of the Blessed Mother next to my tabernacle.
Oh, Lord, God bless you, Father. Good. Captain Lou is bringing me communion on Sunday, so that's good. I'm receiving Jesus.
Oh, very good. Tell Captain Lou we said hello.
I will.
His brother was over the ministry yesterday, Nick.
Nick. Okay, good.
Taking care of our card. Inspecting it. He comes down. He leaves his truck here. He picks up our car. Takes care of it and brings it back. Talk about going the extra mile for us.
For a long time.
And Captain Lou, you know, and Anthony, man, we all miss Anthony.
Yeah, Anthony, God bless his soul.
St. Richard's Church. He would
and
be kneeling
mother.
Down praying
and
the deck of the rosary.
And we had our daily mass.
And he was an avid listener.
One at a time.
Years ago, his mother came to mass and stayed for the rosary every morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, lovely family.
Very good. Well, Mary, happy birthday.
My prayers, all of you, Father, Ken, even that Patrick. I miss seeing him at mass.
Yeah.
So I haven't been to masses yet, but I watch it on TV, Father.
Very good. We'll have to catch up soon, Mayor.
All right. God
all right.
bless you all.
You too.
Love you all. Bye-bye.
Happy birthday. Take care.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, good to hear her voice.
Yeah, inspiring lady.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm down St. Richard's, right down prostration. I'm holding the pew trying to genuflect.
Yeah. Yeah, both her parents lived to be over 100, I think. So
she's got 104.
Yeah.
And one was... even older, 108.
Yeah. So, 108. Yeah, she's got a ways to go.
Yeah.
So, anything you want to share, Father, before we go to St. Thomas Aquinas?
No, we can go to St. Thomas Aquinas.
Okay. This past Sunday was the 28th, and because it was a Sunday, St. Thomas Aquinas got bumped out. But he was born in the year 1225, and he would die on March the 7th in the year 1274. Probably one of the more famous saints across not just our Catholic Church, but amongst Protestants and Christians all around. And at 5 years old, his parents gave him off to the Benedictine Monastery at Monte Cassino, and they were hoping, I guess at the age of five, that somehow or other he would eventually become an abbot. Well, in 1239, he was sent to Naples to complete his studies, and it was there that he would be attracted to Aristotle's philosophy. But in 1243, again, so he was born in 1225, so at the age of 18, he abandoned his family's plans for him, and he went and joined the Dominicans. And his parents weren't too happy, especially his mother. And so her brother was sent to capture him and brought him home for a year. So, you know, we've read and talked about, you know, other parents that weren't real happy about their children being religious. And in this case, it was his mother wanted him to be a Dominican, and a Benedictine rather, and he had other plans. He went off and joined the Dominicans, and after he spent that year at home, when he was free, he would go to Paris and then to Cologne, and he would finish his studies with Albert the Great. He would be a professor in Paris. He would live at the court of Pope Urban IV and would direct Dominican schools at both Rome and Viterbo. He would combat adversaries like the mendicants as well as the Averroes. And would argue with Franciscans about Aristotelianism. However, sorry about that. I know I jumbled that. but the study of Aristotle. But his probably his greatest contribution to the Catholic Church was his writings, and that the unification and the harmony he would have with faith and reason of both revealed and natural human knowledge. And as a result, many people have used his writings, and especially the Summa Theologia, which was his last writing and was never completed. It deals with the whole Catholic theology. And after Mass on December the 6th in the year 1273, he was asked why he stopped writing. And he said, "I can't go on. Quote, all I have written seems to me like so much straw compared to what I have seen and what has been revealed to me." And he would die just 3 months later on March the 7th, 1274. And that, what was revealed to him, I don't know, Father, if you're 100% certain, but you know, when Christ reveals himself to us, you just can't put words to it. It's overwhelming, right? And many of us have experienced it to different degrees, and whether it's in recovery from addiction or, you know, some other form, when all of a sudden you have that great aha moment and you realize, you know, that God's been doing for you what you couldn't do yourself, and when that becomes revealed, you know, the sky's the limit. And obviously with Thomas Aquinas, even though he had come to know so much and write so much, compared to what was revealed to him, as he said in his own words, that it was just straw. So it must have been pretty powerful what he had experienced. Right, Father?
Yeah. No, you're right with the mystics, Ken. I always say they bankrupt the dictionary and stretch the human language in trying to tell us what they're experiencing, and they can't. Even St. John of the Cross ended his writings. He couldn't go on. And he would always say, "I don't know what." You know, he was stammering, you know. But, yeah, I mean, you can't put it into words. And he would have these revelations, these experiences. And then he would actually go in the church, put his head on the tabernacle for hours, and then go and do his writings. He'd be so inspired. And the Lord, you know, appeared to him at the cross one time in a vision and said, "Thomas, you have written well of me. Ask for whatever you want." And all Thomas could say was, "All I want is you, Lord. All I want is you." And it's almost like the Lord saying, "You got me," you know. And they did. They had one another. And so much in love with Jesus in the Eucharist. Of course, we know all the beautiful hymns, and you know, putting together the Corpus Christi. The Pope asked them to put down the liturgy for the Feast of Corpus Christi, Pange Lingua, Tantum Ergo. We always sing them, Ken, at our holy hours, at our adoration and benediction time. But such a love for the Holy Eucharist of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. It was like his blood was so moist on him. And I just, you know, think about, like you said, you know, burn it all, it's all straw, that he just couldn't go on. He was just on fire, and the Lord would take him soon after that. You're like, you just can't go any farther, you know, it's just one veil to be torn. And then there's God, that he would see him. But yes, it's just, wow, you know, these mystics, how beautiful they are. And, you know, to try to inspire us too as well. And, you know, he never gossiped, never talked about anybody, not even losing his patience. He was just filled with God throughout his whole life. And he was a roly-poly saint. They actually said they had to cut out part of his table because of his stomach was so big. He was called the dumb ox because I guess he was shy in the beginning. He wouldn't say anything, and then St. Albert saw his greatness later on. And even St. Albert the Great, he said that St. Albert the Great laid the foundation of the Eucharist theology, and St. Thomas Aquinas built the edifice of our Eucharistic theology. But it was St. Albert the Great, when Thomas Aquinas died before him, he had the experience. And he said to the group there, he says, "Thomas just died, that the Lord had just revealed that to me." And it was so true that the two of them were like two peas in the pot with the Eucharistic Lord. But yeah, it's just that the cross. Someone asked Thomas Aquinas, what was the greatest, and he was an avid reader, what was the greatest book you ever read? He said, "The Crucifix." And I'm still reading it. The Crucifix. The Cross of Jesus. You know, they should have called them St. Thomas of the Cross. But here's a poem, Hang It on the Cross. If you have a secret sorrow, a burden or a loss, an aching need for healing, hang it on the cross. If worry steals your sleep and makes you turn and toss, if your heart is feeling heavy, hang it on the cross. Every obstacle to faith or doubt you come across, every prayer unanswered, hang it on the cross. For Christ has borne our brokenness and dearly paid the cost to turn our trials to triumph, hanging on the cross. And today's reading, Ken, you know, in the breviary, I don't have it in front of me, but he was talking about the cross, and he was saying, you know, why did Jesus have to die such a terrible death? It was to show us how to act, to show us how much he loves us. But he says, whatever we're looking for, you're looking for patience? Look at the Lamb of God on the cross. Look at the patience he had hanging on the cross. Are you looking for love? No greater love does one have to lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did. He laid down his life for his friends. Poverty, you know, they stripped him of his garments. Whatever the need, obedience, you know, to the complete will of the Father. Whatever virtue you're looking for, behold the Lamb of God, because he's taken all the vices to the cross, and he's transforming it all, and he's pouring out all the virtues for us. But the cross is so powerful. You know, it's the mass that goes on in your heart, Ken, my heart, and all of our hearts by the sacrament of baptism. We are grafted to the cross of Jesus Christ, and we embrace our cross. There is no more cross. We transcend it to the peace and the joy and the victory that Christ won for us from the cross. And the graces, claim the grace. Amen.
Amen. And just as long as we're talking about Thomas Aquinas, one of the things I've come across in the past is the angelic warfare confraternity that the Dominicans have, and it's for those that struggle with purity. And it's grown pretty large, sponsored by the Dominicans. And if you or somebody you know struggles with purity, I'd encourage you to check out the confraternity. The website is angelic warfare confraternity.org or .com, one or the other. But look them up. It's run by the Dominicans, and you know, great resources to help folks that struggle with that. We shared a little bit last night about, you know, we go from one addiction to another sometimes, and I know quite a few people that have struggled with whether it's pornography or other sexual sins. So I'd encourage people to check that out. So we got just a minute left. Whoop, go ahead, Father.
I believe he would be a patron of purity.
Exactly.
Because when he was arrested by the brothers, Ken, they said he was in there like 2 years. And they tried everything to dissuade him from being a Dominican. And they actually sent a woman in, you know, that was trying to get him to fall in his purity. And he took one of the pokers and chased the lady out. And he kept his heart pure.
Amen.
So he would even be, I believe, a patron of having a pure heart, because his heart was so pure with Jesus. And,
exactly.
Just all in it there, Ken.
All right. And we just get your blessing, Father.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, bless us all of our loved ones who have gone before us, especially for Billy Curran and for TJ, Father Jason. All of our loved ones, and also for Mary's birthday today, and all those who need prayers, Lord, and blessings from you, just through your priesthood here, Father Douglas. Bless us all real good with your mercy, your peace, your joy, your transforming love, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. All right, Father, thanks, pal. I will
see
you in the morning for Mass. For our listeners, we've got another hour to go, and our guest Peter DePalma is already on the line. We'll be talking about Luisa Picaretta and the gift of the divine will. Don't go away. We'll be right back.